Okay, welcome. This is a Wild Outside podcast. We're here at Odd Story. If you haven't been to Odd Story, please come down. It's on the MLK. Great beer. We got a great announcement we're going to make next week. So stay tuned for that. Before I get on with Dr. Chris Moore, our guest, that we probably have 2 hours worth of stuff to talk about. We only got 25 minutes. Quick thing about Wild Trails, great news with Lookout Mountain 50, 20, and 10K coming up on December 15th. It looks like it's going to be a banner year. We're going to probably have, this is the 12th year that we're running this race, and we've already got more people signed up now than we had all of last year. So we're probably looking at north of 600, 650 runners total. We've already got 36 states represented. We got a couple from Alaska and Montana, 6 from Canada, not just one place, all over. It's going to be a great race. The new course this year again, not a whole lot different, just changing up a little bit, but hopefully it will be the last time we change it. But it looks like it's going to be a great year, and it's been 2 years in a row with kind of semi-cold-ish weather, so I think we're due for a really good weather year. So if you're into it, 50 miler, there's only one limit. That's the total limit for all runners combined because of parking. Come on out, and that 10K there is really gaining a reputation. It is, I think it's one of the most diverse, probably one of the most unique 10K courses you could ever run. I mean, it's super flat and fast for about 2 miles, and then it is off the reservation in a whole bunch of different directions, and it'll surprise you. Probably one of the steepest hills in all of trail running, anywhere. On the verge of a climb, but it's not really a climb. There's no ropes involved, but it's really close to it. So anyway, Dr. Chris Moore, thank you so much for joining us. Gosh, I don't even know when we met the first time. We've known each other for 10 years at least or more. But you've got a real storied history in Chattanooga for sure. One of the coolest houses I've ever been to in my life was an old clubhouse for tennis. The tennis club, I'm on Lookout Mountain.
Yeah, it was called Little Club.
The Little Club.
Yeah, it was built in 1914, actually.
Named Little or just?
Named Little.
I mean, for a person's name? Or is it?
I never knew. But anyway, it was a cool place, and it really took advantage of that city.
Your kids were pissed off when you sold them.
Still are. still are. Yeah.
They still come home for Christmas.
So. But we did move closer. We sit right on the edge of the river and across the property now. Yeah. So.
And you were going to live in that house. You were moving to Longview.
And that was going to be short term, yeah.
Yeah. So let me first tell about long runs, and then you jump into it. So Chris told me, say, hey, I'm doing this really cool development called Long Branch, and it's kind of borders Nickajack Road, if you know where that is, but it's just an absolutely spectacular piece of land. He said, we got some cool trails out there. You should come check it out. Well, long story short, Lookout Mountain goes through the Long Branch Residential Preserve, which is a really cool name. But I got to tell you, that four-mile loop roughly that we do in Long Branch, I mean, that scrawny trail and even that big Schlemmer trail, they're the best trails anywhere in the whole region, in my opinion. That scrawny trail is my number one favorite trail. And we all thank you for letting us run there once a year at least. So really cool. And a cool story of how it got built. I mean, you built a lot of them, but.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Wilmore Smith's kid.
Well, really how Long Branch got started is I was involved in a lot of conservation movements and organizations town and around the state. And you know, if you're involved in those land trusts and you're on the board, it's a constant issue of raising funds to try to acquire property, try to therefore protect it and then 5 somewhere. So I was a huge proponent of taking advantage of conservation easements so that the private sector can develop land and yet preserve more land than need to be developed.
Yeah.
That's the way I approach it. So Long Branch was 400 acres that had gone on the map, on the market. I was really afraid of it, where it was, of it getting bought by some real developer. So as a fake developer,
yeah,
I was able to acquire it, and then we put a conservation easement over the entire 400 acres. It only allows any kind of building on about an 80-acre envelope. And the first thing we did before we laid out roads was we built trails. And we laid a lot of them out. I did have a lot of volunteer help from some of my good friends' kids and my own kids. And we didn't know what we were doing, really, building those trails, except for go where
I was. Well, I got to say now that a couple of them changed, but now that I do know what I'm doing, I mean, when I first started, you know, helping you and Davenport's, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but now that I have gone through some formal training and been involved with a lot of building, I go back here, I mean, there's a couple maybe that you could change a little bit, but 90% of those trails were laid out perfectly. I wouldn't change them.
Well, it's such great terrain out there. It's really pretty. And to the surprise of a lot of people in this area, it's has some habitat in Florida that's very different than around here. People think you have to go to Western North Carolina to find creeks with mountain laurel and rhododendron and all that, but we have it right up there on the back of the country.
He's got one of the coolest trees, maybe the coolest tree I've ever seen. And there needs to be a trail to that tree. So I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it is, it fell all the way to the ground. But the root ball was still attached, and two branches came up from the trunk. So the trunk is down, and these two branches, well, they were 30 feet. They're 30 feet up in there. It looks like a football goal post, kind of. But it was, yeah, the greatest survivor tree of all time.
Well, it's really been a labor of love doing that. And I say this all the time, I probably could have handpicked my residents out there, because the people that are drawn to that sort of setting want to live in that kind of setting where they have immediate access to the woods around them. And not to mention, in our own 400 acres that are preserved, we surrounded three-fourths of our property by the Lake Land Trust.
Yeah, so, and the connector trail goes from the dam via the Riverwalk, now is all the way connected to Covenant College, to Lula Lake. Got to do a little bit of road, get to Nick Jack's trailhead, and then all the way to Cloudland Canyon. So that
absolutely
goes all the way right through the middle of your property. So it's a great, great spot. You got some awesome residents that live there too. I think I know most of them.
But that, you know, that feeds into one of the things you said you want to talk about, because that connectivity that you just described really has a lot to do with over the past and present interests. And that I was one of, I'm sure, a lot of people that recognized early on the benefits of setting that we were in here at Chattanooga and the natural amenities we have. So,
yeah.
That was the impetus, I guess, in 1996 was one of the biggest mountaineering tragedies in the history of mountaineering on Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I knew some of the people involved in that through my wilderness medicine work, but because of that and all these wilderness medicine programs and conferences and all, really had, in this country, it all been west of the Rockies.
Yes.
And I tried to convince my colleagues that the Southeast was a lot of wilderness that they don't know about. And so we finally decided to put on a conference here. And the impetus of that Everest tragedy about all those stuff that most physicians don't know in treating issues in the outdoors. Yeah. Part of it. So in 1997, we did our first wilderness medicine conference in general.
But you haven't been in other parts of the country before, but it's always been in California.
California, Oregon, Utah.
So,
yeah.
That was here for quite a few years.
We ran about 10 conferences from 1997 to 2013.
Yeah.
Not every year, and it was, and so what happened, one of the things that happened, and I was lucky because I had known really the best speakers on the planet on some of these outdoor issues, everything from snake bites to high altitude medicine to whatever. So we were able to get them here. As a rule, they fell in love with Chattanooga. These faculty members wanted to come back every year. Our very first conference, 1997, we had 350 physicians from 22 states that came to Chattanooga. It was 5 days here. It was a great way to show off our city to how the people that love being in the outdoors, and it was also a great benefit for the city to have those kind of conferences. But it also, one of the things to point out, you know, a lot of medical conferences you go to and you're all trying to spend, shopping at plane tenants, which are all fine. But I knew that the people coming here wanted to do something different.
Well, the diversity.
Exactly.
Yeah, you go to Boulder, Colorado, where I come from. You can go hiking, you can maybe go rock climbing, road biking is part of it.
Here, we added to those here, the caving, whitewater, and rock climbing. And so, that very first year, we put together off-time activity. And I just had to call on friends. And said, would you teach climbing clinic? Would you take a group of people caving? Would you?
Yeah.
And so we did that, and that was a huge success. And it dawned on me at the time that we really needed an organization in town to be able to provide these kind of things. So that was the genesis of Outdoor Chattanooga. That's where it started.
So, I mean, the idea of Outdoor Chattanooga was yours, right?
Yeah, it's like all these other things, you know. Master of none comes to mind.
Well, that's not true. I wouldn't call it that. I mean, obviously that's pretty cool. But your idea at the beginning with Outdoor Chattanooga was kind of a nonprofit.
Right. It actually, see, there's, yeah. So, you know, people say doctors aren't very good businessmen. And I think I demonstrated that because I actually set up Outdoor Chattanooga for-profit business on the side that I could run in my off weeks. I was a ER doc at that time, so I worked a week on, a week off. So, it quickly got out of hand.
It was an open doors business. You had to start.
Okay, absolutely. And it stayed that way for a couple of years until it was obvious that the real beneficiary of the business was the community as a whole.
Sure.
And fortunately at the time we had a very enlightened mayor.
Yeah. Bob
Porter. Yeah. And he and I had gone several years in a row on a winter Appalachian Trail backpacking trip together. I was lucky to get away. I don't know how he got away. But we started talking about business and ultimately the city of Chattanooga took it.
Well, I also know you were one of the founders or the founder of the Baylor Walkabout program. Was that kind of spawned off out of the Outdoor Chattanooga?
Actually, that preceded it. So, long before I ever went to medical school, I worked at Baylor School as a teacher and a coach. And I had the assignment from Dr. Herbert Barnes, who was a real visionary in this regard. He just said, you know, public school and private school education really needs to incorporate exposing students to the outdoors. And I had a background in outdoors with Albert Mao, running a camp for kids and all that. And so he asked me to get a program that would involve students in outdoors. And so that's
so you were teaching there?
Yeah, 1975, 76. Actually, coached wrestling, and I worked in the admissions office, and then I ran this outdoor program.
You're not that old.
Yeah, I'm really old.
Damn, dude. Are you old?
Yeah, let's go get into that.
Great.
Just 68. So, anyway, so we...
Are you really 68?
And we had this discussion before.
Well, no, I thought you were not that much older than me.
No. Let's, can we move on?
Yeah. No, actually, congratulations. You've done a great job.
So anyway, Dr. Barks was a really great visionary in that regard. He just said, I don't know how to do it. I don't have a background in it, but I know that kids need to be exposed to how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we started, called it Walkabout. That was the fall of 1975. Yeah. And it's 40-something years old. And it's really much better program than I ever ran. Takes
kids, take them all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah. Take them climbing in India and backpacking.
Well, I have to say something. I hope this won't insult the other schools, but we've had a bunch of kids from a bunch of schools all over town help build trails and maintain trails. But the Walkabout kids are just a special group, and I don't know what it is that they've done with them. They were focused. They were energetic. They worked hard, and I think it might be a rule they left their phones in their the car or whatever, because they just weren't on their phone all the time. Like every other kid seems like it is. So, whatever you've done.
Well, it's like I said, it's a much better program now. A guy named Tim Williams is a real star in the outdoor community mm-hmm. around here. He's been running for 25 years. His colleague, Tim Lindell, is yeah. another one. And they just teach kids the right things.
Good stuff, no doubt. So, well, thanks for joining. I know we try to keep this between 20 and 25 minutes, and sometimes it leaks into a half an hour. So we'll have you back for the two or three more episodes that we'll take to tell your whole story, because you got a lot going on.
Hardly. I mean, you know, the baton's been picked up by so many people, you most of all, and plenty of others in this community that have embrace the outdoor setting and enhance it.
Well, I gotta say, I mean, there's a lot of cool outdoor stuff in Colorado where we come from, but the community doesn't really embrace it like ours does. In that, the government administrations don't really accept a lot of events, because a lot of places in the country, they just think we got to keep it to the bird watchers and the hikers only. That kind of stuff. And I think they're just, we're doing so much to get people outdoors here, out in the woods. And we got more trails and more waterways, than any other city, any size, maybe the world. I mean, we've really got a unique thing. It's a lot of thanks to people like you that have kind of crafted, the evolution of all the outdoor acceptance. I don't know if we'd be here right now for people like you that make it a very acceptable place to come and live and put on events, because I think events are paramount to getting people outdoors. Start as a road runner, you do a 5K on the road, maybe a 10K, and then hey, there's five trail races, in the same distance. Well, let's give it a try, and just. It changes people's lives, and I don't think we'd be in a place like this if we didn't have a lot of people like you and a lot of others, of course. But I really appreciate what you've done.
Thank you.
Don't miss next week. Got a good announcement. Hopefully, we'll get Jay out here to talk about something exciting. Who's Jay? They're saying. Wait till next week and find out. So. All right, see you next week. Thanks.